Serenity, Prabhupada glorification.
Tam sarva bhuta hridaya mani mana tosmi bhaktya vahina aparada lakshay chiptasya kamadi taranga madhye kripa maitvam sharanam prapadyam Vinde namaste charanaravindam tvaivasmi najivami tam vina iti vigyay radhe tam nayamam charanantike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nichalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotara Sat Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances. Does it sound weird, this thing? Or does it sound okay?
It's loud.
Huh?
It's weird, but it's loud. So
it's not that bad. Otherwise,
and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad Astotara Sat Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, to all of our Guru Varga disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So on this most auspicious day, because if it wasn't for this day, where would we be? Bag ladies.
Worms and
stool. What? Worms and stool. So on this most auspicious day, I want to continue with similar remembrances as I was sharing this morning. Because I know that many of you, especially, are just starting with your book distribution. So to see how Prabhupada and Gurudev are so similar in that regard. Because I know you all read Prabhupada's books and you consider him your Shiksha Guru. And as you heard Srila Gurudev saying this morning, after he was telling about Prabhupada's auspicious birth, and then his scholarship, and then his business, and then his renunciation, and then how he spread Krishna consciousness all over the West, primarily because of his books, and how Gurudev said, and I'm also making so many books, and trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we'll continue from this morning. At the end of Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada wrote an offering of appreciation to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time, in his later life, his divine grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn Bengali just to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. And in that connection, I wish to thank my American disciples who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. I think that His Divine Grace is always seeing my activities. So Srila Prabhupada is telling us how we should see our Gurudev, that He's always seeing our activities and guiding me within His heart, within my heart, by His words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Lord and His Paramatma feature is always sitting with His devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. So there's the second instruction of Prabhupada, showing how we should think about our spiritual master and about how we're doing our activities. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I do have full faith in the service of my spiritual master. If there is any credit to my activities in translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. And that's what makes a person a pure devotee and a guru, when he's fully giving credit to his guru for everything that he's doing. Certainly, if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He's not physically present, I'm confident that He's very pleased with this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada once said that the book distributors may come and go, but it's the books themselves that are spreading Krishna consciousness, because they're personalities. Therefore, our society has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world will enjoy this translation. And I'm glad to express my gratitude to the learned men of the Western countries who are pleased with my work. Here's a suggestion given by Prabhupada to all of you who are now trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. My gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all of my books that will be published in the future. That is, devotees used to go to libraries and wealthy people's homes, not even wealthy, because in the West everyone was kind of wealthy. And it's not clear. Should I stop using this pen? Now is it better? Now it's good? Okay. And they used to sell what's called standing orders. They would give whatever books Prabhupada already had published, and they would take money for all the rest of the books and promise the rest of the books as they would come out. This was also part of Prabhupada's life membership program, that they would get whatever books was already published and continue to get more and more books. So you all might want to do that as well, as you're meeting different people. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one more thing that I'd like to read from Srila Prabhupada's books, and that is his very books themselves, as they described in detail the features of what a person goes through in this material world. We would, in the evenings, or sometimes in the morning during breakfast, we would read from certain excerpts of Srila Prabhupada's books that would inspire us for preaching during the day. For example, we'd read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, or sometimes we would read about how Prabhupada translated and commented on life in the material world, starting from the first night when the sperm and the ovum mix, and on the fifth night the mixture ferments into a bubble. So Prabhupada is teaching us how to see, like when we are trying to help people to come to the Krishna consciousness movement, to bring people to our shelter, our Gurudev shelter, instead of seeing them just as this body, rigid in time, to see what they've been going through and what they will be going through. Perhaps you've seen the, what do you call that, fate exhibition of changing bodies, or of the painting of the changing bodies. When there's one soul changing through different bodies, or one soul changing through different species. So we would read this and inspire each other for how to see that the people are suffering, and not to think, well, they're enjoying, they don't need Krishna consciousness, they don't need our Gurudev's mercy, they don't need the books. Then on the tenth night, it develops into a form like a plum, and after that, gradually into a lump of flesh or an egg. In the course of a month, the head is formed. And at the end of 2 months, hands, feet, and limbs start taking shape. At the end of 3 months, nails, fingers, toes, bodies, hairs, bones, and skin. Within 4 months, the seven essential ingredients of the body, namely blood, flesh, fat, bone, marrow, and semen, deriving nutrition from the food and drink taken by the mother, the fetus groans and remains in that abominable residence of stool and urine, which is the breeding ground of all worms. Bitten again and again all over the body by the hungry worms in the abdomen, the child suffers terrible agony because of his tenderness, and he thus becomes unconscious moment after moment in this agony. And then the mother eats bitter tasting food, and that also burns the baby's body. Then when the baby comes out, first it remains just like a bird in a cage without any freedom of movement. What possibility is there of peace of mind? Then worms also take birth in that same abdominal cavity and start eating him alive. Then he starts praying to Krishna and praying that if you get me out of this abominable condition, I promise I'll be your devotee. I'll always remember you. But what happens is, as soon as he comes out upside down. He gets smashed all over by the doctors because he comes out dead or half dead, covered with blood. And the doctors are trying to bring him to life again. And then they put him in a crib. And then he's crying for his baby's milk. And the nurse thinks that he's had some pain, so she gives him some bitter-tasting medicine instead. And then he's sent to school, and he becomes envious of all the other kids. And the other kids become envious of him, and then he fights with them. So year after year, the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada is giving the miserable conditions. And then when he's coming to the end of his life, all the relatives are surrounding him, and he's weeping, telling how they should take care of him after he dies. And then, when the relatives are still there, he's seeing the constables of Yamaraj coming with their whips and strangling him at the neck. And then how he's dragged to the different hells. And then it describes how the Yamadutas take him and they carry him up to the top of a mountain and throw him off the mountain. And then he breaks into many pieces. And then they put him back together again. And then they bring him up to the mountain again. And then they throw him off again. That's one of the hells. And in Prabhupada's translations and purports, he describes the many hells. Like, one goes to the hell called Creamy Bhojana, where he becomes a worm and he eats other worms and other worms eat him. Or if he was attached to illicit connection with the opposite sex, then he has to embrace a hot, molten man or woman as he gets simultaneously whipped by the constables of Yamaraj. So sometimes we would read this the night before the devotees would go out for book distribution, as we would simultaneously, some of the devotees would be packaging lug loops and stapling them, and stapling them. That's better?
Well, I can't hear so well, but it's better.
Can everybody come closer then?
This mic doesn't help.
It doesn't help? Can everybody come closer then? And I'll talk as loud as I can. And at the same time, some of the devotees were rolling lug loops and stapling them with cards of our temple. And those lug loops we would give out the next day while we were distributing books. So our consciousness was to develop compassion for all the people that we were going to meet. So Srila Gurudev is also wanting us to have compassion and to take book distribution as Guru Seva. He said, it will be a rope siddha bhakti if you're thinking that I'm doing this for my name, fame, and fortune, for my prophet adoration and distinction. But if you're thinking, Gurudev said, that I'm doing this to please my Guru, because he wants everyone to get a Krishna conscious education by reading his books and to understand Jiva Dharma top to bottom, A to Z. He said you can tell the people, Gurudev said you can tell the people that this takes you from the basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Sharanagati all the way up to Madanakya Mahabhav. It takes you to the perfection of life. One of the devotees was complaining when Gurudev was in Holland that we don't get any small books to distribute. Our regional distributor only gives us Jiva Dharmas. So Gurudev said, what's wrong with that? Distribute Jiva Dharmas. So then she said, but it's too difficult to understand. So then Gurudev said, so explain it. Because that's preaching.
Sometimes Srila Gurudev would say at his Harikatha festivals around the world, I saw that today 100 devotees went out for Nagar Sankirtan and book distribution. You'd expect the next sentence to be, and that made me so happy. But instead he said, I was expecting there to be 500 devotees. And referring to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev said, he is my Shiksha Guru. So my books are supplementary and complementary to his books. He said, certainly, book distribution can be pure bhakti. Anything can be pure bhakti. Anything can be contaminated bhakti, depending upon our consciousness. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also distributed books. When he came back from South India, he got the Korma Purana and the Brahma Samhita, and he told his devotees to copy them, to print them. So what did printing mean in those days? Copying them by hand, over and over again, so that he can distribute them. Gurudev said, I'm remembering those days when Prabhupada first came to America, how he had a heart attack on the boat, but how he didn't take any medicine, but he simply depended on Krishna because he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And now, because of his determination, Lord Jagannath, for example, is worshipped in every country, in practically every major city of the world, as is Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that Ravana stole Sita from Ram. And all the people are like Ravanas, stealing the goddess of fortune in the form of opulence or wealth. But we can't imitate Hanuman, and we can't imitate Ram and kill the Ravanas. So what do? To get Sita back from Ravana? We do it in the form of humble beggars, just like Krishna Priya and Chitra, right? Last night at the Rath Yatra festival, at the Janmashtami festival, they were going to the different shops and begging some rupees for the ladies' ashram. Similarly, Srila Gurudev tells the story of one devotee who was in Vrindavan chanting Radhe 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe and so many other bhajans, and at the same time going door to door to beg alms. So there was a lady in one of the houses, and she was cleaning her floor with her cow dung floor with a very stinky, dirty, old, worn and torn rag. And so when he came to beg alms, she said, if you come back here one more time, I'm going to beat you. So naturally he came back the next day, and she threw the rag right at his face. So he was very happy, and he took the rag and he brought it home and he washed it in the Jamuna until it was completely spotless. And then he ripped it into little pieces. And then he made ghee wicks out of it and soaked it in ghee. And then he offered it to his Thakurji during aarti. And then the next day he came back, and she was so happy to see him. and she gave him some chapatis. Because he was so kind, he didn't care for his own false ego, how his false ego was reacting to her being mean, but rather he only saw how she was suffering and desired to give her Sukritis. Similarly, Srila Gurudev tells the story of two sadhus who were drinking water from the river, and one of them picked up a scorpion in his hand as he was getting the water. So the scorpion bit him, and he jerked, and the scorpion fell back in the water. And this happened several times that he picked up the scorpion. So his friend said, "Can't you see that the scorpion keeps biting you? Why do you keep picking it up?" So that sage said, "The scorpion is my guru. He's teaching me that even though I'm nice to him, he's not giving up his nature as a scorpion. So why should I give up my nature as a sage, even though he keeps biting me?" And again, Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if a doctor is being kicked and cursed by a patient, he still goes on lovingly treating that patient. And Prabhupada very often said, as did Srila Gurudev, does Srila Gurudev, "Just be like a tree. Even if a woodcutter comes to cut down the tree gives its fruits and flowers and bark and everything that it has." When Srila Prabhupada first came to New York in 1966, he was at the temple in 26 Second Avenue, which was a very small storefront temple with a big storefront window. And the first press for the printing of his books was about 3 feet long. And it was the kind of printing press that you go like this. So we printed Srila Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazines. And he was always so concerned that everything be so pukka in the philosophy. Even the paintings, the drawings, had to be pukka in the philosophy. He was always very strict. One time for that stenciled printing of the Back to Godhead, I copied a picture of Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis when they're going to bathe in the Jamuna. So this was a Gita Press publication that I took the picture out of, I copied the picture out of. And the caption next to the picture said that Krishna is showing here, this is a symbolic story, and Krishna is showing here that one must be naked before the Lord. Whatever that means. So, Rai Rama, the publisher, the editor of Prabhupada's magazine at the beginning, he put that same caption in the Back to Godhead magazine. And when Prabhupada got advanced copies of the magazine in San Francisco, he said, "This should be ripped out of every magazine. I came to the West just to stop this Mayavadi nonsense, and you're putting it in my magazine." Similarly, he wanted his Back to Godhead magazine distributed all over the world. And same with Srila Gurudev. At the beginning of one Kartik lecture, he made an announcement that I have my book table in the back of this assembly, and I have my Harmonist magazine on that book table. It is the best magazine in the entire world. There was about 1,000 people there. And I want everyone to take one and 10 for all of his friends. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev both encouraged their dear darling daughters in preaching. Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of his daughters that you should become the spiritual master of your whole neighborhood and make all the mothers and wives of your whole neighborhood Krishna conscious, because it's the mothers and wives that are responsible for the Krishna consciousness of their whole family. How they make the prasadam, how they encourage and inspire their family. So you should make all the mothers and wives in the neighborhood Krishna conscious. And he had one daughter named Govindadasi. And Govindadasi was a very powerful preacher. And she was the one who transformed Siddha Swarup, who was a big guru before he met Prabhupada, into Prabhupada's disciple. And she would get thousands of people. She would go to rock concerts and get thousands of people to follow her on a big procession chanting Hare Krishna. And those photographs and captions were printed in the Back to Godhead magazine. So Prabhupada wanted the title of that article to be called Heroine Govindadasi. And similarly, Srila Gurudev, he had one of his daughters who was training to be a lawyer, an advocate, get up in front of 400 people in Muwillumbah, Australia, to speak something about why Srila Prabhupada came to this world. What did he come to give? So first she was very nervous and she said, I can't really speak in front of all you advanced people here. And Gurudev said, just say the mantras to your Gurudev and Guru Varga and that will give you inspiration. Then she spoke nicely. And then he said, I want all my daughters to be just like lions jumping over the heads of elephants. I don't want my daughters to be timid and afraid and like, mew, mew, mew. Then in another lecture, a farewell speech, when he was leaving Australia, he said, I want all my daughters to be just like Draupadi. When Karna came to try to win her hand at the Swayambara ceremony, by he had to shoot a fish through a turning wheel.
The eye of the fish.
The eye of the fish while looking down into the water. Looking down in the water. And the reflection of the water, you couldn't look up. You had to look down at the reflection. And then in the reflection, you had to see this spinning wheel. And every once in a while, you'd see the fish with the eye, and you have to shoot the eye. So Karna came up to try, and he would have won. But Draupadi said, who are your parents? I know that really your parents are not Kshatriyas, but that you were found. You were really the son of a Sudra, and they put you in a basket, and you were found by other parents. So sit down. And then Bhishma, Grandfather Bhishma, came to try. But he wasn't trying for himself. He wanted to win it for Duryodhana. And he would have won too. But she said, are you trying for yourself or are you trying for somebody else? If you're not planning to marry me, and he couldn't because he took a vow that he would be a brahmachari the rest of his life, then you might as well just sit down. So she was very strong. And Prabhupada also said about his daughters, I want them to be lambs at home and lions on the chase. What does lions on the chase mean? Lambs at home means very humble, polite, sweet. And lions on the chase doesn't mean growling or anything. He said, just like me, I'm a lion on the chase. Nobody invited me to come to America, but still I came. So in 1966, Prabhupada had the 3-foot press, that one. And then in 1969, he got his 20-foot press in Boston. And that took an entire giant room above the deities, temple room. And Prabhupada went there in 1969 or 70, and he offered his full dandavats at the press, saying his pranam mantra to his Guru Maharaj, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya, to his Guru Maharaj. And then he said, I want you to keep this press as clean as glass. And then he was walking around to the different departments. Like in those days, there was the dark room. Now everything is done on computer, but in those days there was the dark room, the films room. And Prabhupada said, just as in India, everybody who speaks Hindi has a Gita Press publication. So I want that everyone who speaks English should have an ISKCON Press publication. And everywhere in the world they speak English. So similarly, Gurudev said, I want all of my devotees to go door to door, house to house, and give everyone my books. Don't be timid, he said. Don't be timid and afraid, thinking that if I do that, someone will beat me with a wine bottle, like they did Nityananda Prabhu. But rather, Nityananda Prabhu will protect you. And when we were going person to person, sometimes there was a block gap when there was no people. So in order to keep us in the right mood, we would open up whatever of Prabhupada's books we would have and read the Sanskrit and the English, like Isopanishad. The wise confirm that one result is obtained by the, cultivation of ignorance, and another result is obtained by the cultivation of knowledge. One who cultivates knowledge and nescience side by side, and that doesn't mean reading Prabhupada's or Gurudev's book on one side and then I have a Karmi book on the other side. To cultivate, Prabhupada explained in the purport, that to cultivate knowledge and nescience side by side means to study and hear the Vedic literature on one side and to tolerate all my sinful reactions on the other side and continue with my service. So we would try and meditate on the verses in Prabhupada's books, like, for one who sees the Supreme Lord everywhere and everything in the Supreme Lord and all living beings as his part and parcel, there's no illusion or anxiety for such a person, and he never hates anything or any being. And then when we would approach the person, we would tell them that. So we would be able to remember it, and the person would be able to hear that nectar that would certainly strike their hearts. So I think I'll end here so that other devotees can speak. Artie's now. Can we have more after Artie? Are you willing to speak? Okay, we're all willing to see Vrindavan Vilasini Didi speak after Arti. Vajyanti Mala Didi, will we also see? Tons of work. Well, she has tons of work to give us tons of books to distribute. And Krishna Vilasini will also wait to see her speak after Arti. 5 minutes. Any questions or comments? Louder? Cultivating them? I'm sorry?
Simple reactions, but I can't see the connection.
I think it's better if I have the purport in front of me. Is Vasanti here? Do we have an Isha Upanishad in my room? Huh? Yeah. If you could get it within 1 minute. But I'd rather read directly his words rather than flub it up. Any other questions or comments? All right, I'll tell just anything about Srila Prabhupada, unless, would you like to?
Yeah. But there is something interesting, because Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada are definitely emphasizing the Srila book. But I don't know if you remember, when Tipperary and his group of book missionaries met with Srila Prabhupada in Atlanta once, and they were trying to get Prabhupada to say the most important thing was the Srila book. And they were asking Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? He said, just learn to love Krishna. This is the most important thing.
Most important thing is to learn to love Krishna, as you said this morning by Bhajan. The reason that we're stressing books this morning and this evening is because it's generally not at all talked about in our Sangha. And the girls are just now starting to do it. So to understand the oneness of Prabhupada and Krishna, Prabhupada and Gurudev in that regard. Therefore,
well,
this one
did.
But still, you're saying that they shouldn't forget.
Right.
It's so true.
I think we need the
balance.
It's not for learning to love Krishna.
In what way?
All I said was distributing books is meant to help ourselves and others learn to love Krishna.
Certainly they can't even begin the process.
So we can make a connection there instead of two different things.
Yeah, it's like because we're learning to please our guru.
Then we get Sukriti so that we can do bhajan.
But when, like, they bring us that
yeah, can you tell that story?